say we believe.
I can say to you this morning, I believe this and this and this and this, but how can I prove it except time? Do my words prove anything? No, words do not prove anything. Time is needed in order for there to be proof of what I say, right? Time is needed in order for there to be proof to what I say. If I say today that I believe that the Bible is the Word of God, what is necessary in order for there to be proof that that's true? That there needs to be time in order for you to see a life either lived according to the Scriptures or a life that is not lived according to the Scriptures. And so faithfulness is necessary. There are many people that say that I believe this and this and this, but over time you find out that there's no faithfulness to what they say they believe. The word faithful means a firm adherence to what one believes, both in word and in deed. And I want you to know that God has created us to be faithful creatures. The trouble we have is we're often faithful to that which does not profit. We're faithful to things that God would not have us be faithful to. We substitute faithfulness to the things of God in order to be faithful to things that God says, hey, I wouldn't have you to be faithful to that. I praise the Lord, and I'll say it almost every week these past few weeks. And I thank the folks that come on a Wednesday night to pray. And the reason why is because just about every one of them come after a hard day's work, or they labored with children all day, and here they're asked to come. When I know that there is a desire within them to say, you know what? I'm just going to go home and sit on the couch and chill. Right? Or as they said a few years ago, I'm going to chillax. That's what I'm going to do. But they come out of faithfulness to what they say they believe. Brethren, if you believe God is effectual in answering our prayers, come. If God would have you to come, come. You say, but I'm tired. I understand. But I promise you this. There's a refreshment and obedience to God that cannot come from anywhere else. It can't come from our lazy boy. It can't come from our favorite TV show. You see, the word faithful has to do with what it is that we do on a regular basis, and we are not deterred from doing it except by the most extreme of circumstances. I believe that if God has called us to do something, we ought to do it unless He brings circumstances into our life that keeps us from doing it. For example, Peter says, I want to be faithful to coming to church. And so he came this morning, but was called out in order to help the Pawtucket Fire Department make sure that their radios don't work right. If their radios don't work, is that a bad thing? Yes, it is, right? And so there's a desire that says, you know what, I want to be faithful to the work and the assembling of God's people together, and I'm going to do what it is that God wants me to do. I've got a firm adherence to it. And unless God does something, I'm going to be there. Listen, if you're throwing up if you're throwing up at all, I don't care if it's every 5 minutes or every hour, stay home, right? That's okay. God has supernaturally attended unto you and says, listen, it's time to stay home, and so it ought to be. But I want to ask you this. If God has called you to be here, but you say, I'd rather sleep, what are you being faithful to? No. It's true. You say, that's too hard, Pastor. Listen, there's a lot of preachers that would never preach about church attendance. But I believe that the Word of God tells us that the first church was faithful to fellowship. And how else are you going to get fellowship except sometimes gathering together with the people of God? Hebrews tells us that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And all the more as we see the day approaching. Now, we learn from a man of God that that day is approaching. Now, I don't care if you live in the 1500s. I know the day is approaching. But I know this. We live in the 21st century. And the things that I look and read about concerning prophetical things seem to show that the day is approaching. When Paul wrote those things in the book of Hebrews, do you think that he thought that the day was approaching? And all the more as you see the day approaching. If you decide, I want to stay home because if I don't stay home, I'm going to miss out on the tennis tournament. Right? Where are they playing? The French Open this week? I've got to watch my French Open tournament. I've watched it all week. I'm not going to miss the last time that the men are playing. I'm not going to miss it. I want you to know, you've decided to be faithful to clay courts and not to God. There's a need for faithfulness in our day that is being stolen away by so many things in the world. It breaks my heart when I learn that, well, I didn't go to church because, you know, my favorite TV show is on at that time. I'm not going to go to prayer meeting because the American Idol is on or whatever it is. It breaks my heart. But I know I've broken God's heart. I know I've said I want to be faithful to such and such and I wasn't. I've told you before, one of my gravest sins is God's called me to a faithfulness to prayer, to the Word of God. By the way, that's not just for the preacher. To prayer and the Word of God. And I've failed in faithfulness in that. What am I saying? I'm saying this. If God's called you to do something, be faithful. Be faithful. I promise you, in the end, you will be glad you were faithful to what God has called you to be faithful to than to what everybody else has called you to be faithful to. Faith, or what we say we believe, is stretched out over time by our faithfulness. In Lamentations chapter 3, I want you to hold your finger here, but I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. This is my life verse, a verse that I look to often for faith. It's a verse that I sign when I sign emails or letters. The Scripture says in chapter 12 and verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight in the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Faithfulness does not come by simple determination and willpower. Faithfulness comes by looking unto Jesus, who is the beginning and end of our faith, who authors it, who is the one that authors our faith and finishes it on through. If I see someone who's begun to say, I want to be faithful to this, I want to be faithful to the choir. And so what's the big deal about choir? Nothing unless God wants you to be part of it, and then you ought to be faithful to it. But I see someone, I want to be faithful to the choir. I'm going to be part of it. I'm going to join myself to it. I'm going to do it. Then all of a sudden, 1 week goes by, and 2 weeks go by, and 3 weeks go by. One of two things has happened. Either God has said, you know what, I don't really want you to be part of the choir. Now, that's not the mistake of God. That's your mistake by stepping out in front of God and saying, I should be part of the choir when you'd never prayed about it or never asked. Or, which I think is more likely, you've decided not to be faithful to what God's called you to because it's hard. By the way, going to choir at 4:30 on Sunday afternoon is hard. There's no doubt about it. It's hard. And then to stay for the evening service is hard. But when I begin to see that, I often wonder within myself, is this person's relationship with God suffering? Are they looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? You see, our faithfulness does not come by saying, I'm going to do it because I said I'm going to do it. Right? I've done that before. Right? I'm going to eat salad every day for lunch and dinner. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it for the next 3 weeks. Lunch comes, big old salad. Dinner comes, pork chops, potatoes, and so on, right? He said, I'm going to be faithful to it. I'm going to do it. I'm determined, right? Listen, we can't be faithful to anything that is spiritual. And by the way, eating right can be a spiritual exercise. It has to be for me. How many ever, I've known folks that have tried to stop smoking. You know what quitting smoking is? It's become a spiritual exercise. It's become something that you need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And so it is with food, for me. It's not just saying, hey, I am determined to stop. Or I am determined to do this. Or I'm going to make sure that I'm doing this. Because God has something greater in mind. He has a relationship between you and Himself that can come only with a daily walk with God. God has called us to faithfulness. He's called us to faithfulness in prayer. He's called us to faithfulness to the study and reading of His Word. He's called us to faithfulness to gathering together with the believers of God, to like-minded people in the church and the house of God. He's called us together. He's called us to be faithful to the cleansing power of the confession of sin. Right? You listening? Listen. I know this isn't easy, but I promise you it's not easy for me. There have been those that say, sometimes the preaching's too hard. I understand it's hard for me too. You say, but preacher, you have to be here. That's why you get paid. Oh, to God that this isn't what I do just so I can get paid, first off. But there were things that God had called me to be faithful to before I was ever paid for it, quote unquote. I'd like to think, by the grace of God, if I weren't paid for it, I'd still be faithful to the things of God. The one thing that we have to begin with there in Lamentations chapter 3 is this. We will find in our lives a lack of faithfulness. It's hard not to take a good look and say, you know what, in my life there's a lack of faith here. There's a lack of faithfulness here. There's a lack of faithfulness here. But there's one thing that we can always look to, and that's this, that God is always faithful. I'm glad that God's faithfulness to us is not determinant upon our faithfulness to Him. But our faithfulness to Him will be determinant on our acknowledging His faithfulness to us. Now, God is faithful to us whether we acknowledge it or not. God is always faithful. He will not cease to be faithful. He is always faithful. What He has said He is going to do, guess what? He does it every time. He is forever faithful. He says, I'm going to do it. He does it. And our faithfulness to Him is determinant on whether or not we recognize His faithfulness to us. And that only comes as we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If we refuse to look unto Jesus, what will we see? we'll see the world. We will see what only these eyes can see and not what can be seen without eyes. The Bible says we live by faith and not by sight. But unless we're looking unto Jesus, all we have is these eyes, right? That makes sense? And so if you notice there, in Lamentations chapter 3, in verse 20, the Bible says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." Now, how great is God's faithfulness? It is great. He is always faithful, right? What is Jeremiah saying here? "When this I recall to my mind." If we do not have the faithfulness of God upon our mind, right? In verse 21, in chapter 3, Lamentations 3, 21. "This I recall to my mind," right? "Therefore have I hope." Where's our hope come from? God is always faithful. Our faithfulness will not come by determining at the end of the service today, you might say, "Well, there's five things that I want to be faithful to. I'm going to write them down and determine to be faithful to them." I want you to know, they're not going to work. There ought to be five things that you say, "I'm determined to be faithful to Him." And this you say, "Therefore, I'm going to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I'm going to depend upon Him to get me to the end of my faith. I'm going to depend upon Him and seek Him with a heart that says, 'Lord Jesus Christ, You're faithful to me. I'm faithful to You.'" And do you know where faithfulness comes from in a relationship? It comes from love, doesn't it? Who loves us more? Nobody but God loves us more, right? God loves us more than anybody. Therefore, He is faithful unto us unto the end. There's so many verses that prove this. If God be for us, who can be against us? If we are in the hand of God, who can pluck us out? There is nothing that can take away God's love for us. And He is faithful. Lord, fill us with Your Spirit now. We so desperately need to be more faithful to You than we are. Please. "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." God is forever faithful to us. Keep reading. "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I have hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Where is our faithfulness going to come from? It's a recognition of the love and faithfulness of God to us. It's a reminding ourselves, or recalling to our mind, that Jesus Christ is always faithful to us. How are we going to recall the faithfulness of God? He's told us everywhere in the Bible He's talked about His faithfulness. There's hardly a place that you can turn that you do not see His faithfulness to His people. God is good, and He's faithful. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. In verse 9, the Bible says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. He is faithful. He is determined. He has a firm adherence to what He says He believes, both in what He says and what His deeds prove to be true." Our faith can be taken as a snapshot. Our faithfulness is taken as a video from beginning to end. God is always faithful. And He says He will always be faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Now, Let's take a look at two passages and we'll be done. I want you to start there in Luke chapter 18. If God is faithful to us, ought we not to be faithful to Him? We had three great messages on the prophetic work of God. Things that God says He is going to do in the future, in days ahead. By the way, when you begin to understand and start to look at the Scripture in a prophetical way, and the thought that God is speaking, and God is speaking concerning things to come, you begin to see it everywhere. Brother Risotto said 75% of the Bible is prophetical. I know this, at least 35% is. If you look there in Luke chapter 18, we have a parable here about a woman who has a grievance and she brings it to the judge. But the judge refuses to hear her. He refuses to avenge her. He refuses to do what's right on the behalf of this woman. But she comes and she comes and she comes and she comes and she comes. If you notice there in verse 6, and the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth?" Now, I want you to take note of verse 8. Now, the parable is about being faithful to praying. Now, we need to be faithful not only in praying, but we need to continue to pray for things that God has called us to pray for. Do you have someone you know who's not saved? When does God want you to quit praying for them? He doesn't want you to stop. Right? Unless that person dies. He wants you to pray and be faithful, not only to the act of praying, but what you're praying for. I want you to notice, now think with me on this. Nevertheless, based upon all this parable that I've given you about prayer and about faith and about being faithful, listen, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Now, how do we get saved? We are saved by grace through faith. Are there saved people on the earth today? Yes. We've got a room. There are many saved people. I would venture to guess that most of the people in this room are saved. They've called upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen. What is Jesus saying? He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh. When He comes. By the way, is Jesus coming again? When He comes, will He find faith on the earth? We're going to look at another passage in just a second, but I want you to think about this with me. Why would Jesus not find faith on the earth? Is it because there's no one saved? No. I think it's because the saved are no longer faithful, so that when He comes, what they said they believed in the beginning, they have not lived out unto the end. How long does faithfulness last? How long is faithfulness needed? Faithfulness is needed in whatever we've called to be faithful to, until either it's done or we're dead. We talked about a loyalty to the church this morning in Sunday school. Or maybe not loyalty as much as a true and honest love of the church of God, the people in whom we gather together in this place throughout the week. A true and honest love, right? If we are faithful to the church in whom God has given us. We will love the church. If we are faithful, how long will that love last? Until we die. We're called up, right? How long has God called you to be faithful to your wives, husbands? Till death do us part, right? Till death do us part. There are those that make a covenant with each other that say, listen, if you die, I'm not marrying anybody else. You're it. There are those that have done that. I'm not saying you need to do that. The Scripture doesn't say so. The Scripture doesn't say so. But you may have said that. What a wonderful covenant. You say, you're it. I'm faithful unto you until the end. We live in a society today that isn't faithful to the things that are good. Husbands, if you're not faithful to your wife, you're faithful to your flesh. Your eyes have wandered. You see, you've had a decision to make. Either I'm going to stay faithful to my wife, or I'm going to be faithful to my eyes and look at whatever it is I want to look at. I'm going to let women try to woo me away from my wife. I'm going to take what God has brought together and I'm going to tear it asunder. You see, if we're not faithful to what we're supposed to be faithful to, does that mean we're not faithful? Well, it just means that we're faithful to something else, isn't it? We're faithful to some other thing instead of being faithful to what we should be faithful to. And so Jesus says, will I find faith on the earth? What does He mean? He means, will I find a people when I come in that moment who in that moment love me rather than loving something else? Love me rather than loving something else. You say, I'm not sure about that. Turn to Matthew 24. Now, Matthew 24 is one of the preeminent prophetical passages in all the Bible. The disciples had asked, what are the signs? What are we going to see? What do we need to know? Matthew 24. I want you to notice there, starting in verse 42. Chapter 24, starting in verse 42. The Scripture says, watch therefore, you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Do we know when Jesus is coming? We don't know, right? I want you to listen to this. There's some here that are on the cusp of saying, I don't want to be faithful to anything of God anymore. I want to be faithful to the activities that I enjoy, the TV shows that I like. I want to be faithful to my friends. I want to be faithful to my football Sunday mornings. I want to be faithful to my baseball and my kids' sports things. I'm going to be faithful to these things. But understand, there is going to be a day when Jesus comes. When He comes, you're not going to lose your salvation if you're doing something that God would not have you to do rather than doing what God would have you to do. You're not going to lose your salvation. It's not going to happen because none of us can lose it. But we will be ashamed that we're doing something that we shouldn't be doing. By the way, it doesn't have to be outwardly sinful. It might not be that you look in the Scripture and say, all right, football's a sin. Are you going to find football's a sin in the Bible? You're not, right? But if you decide that football is more important on Sunday morning than Sunday school and church service, if you're at that football game and Jesus comes, do you think you might be ashamed? Right? If God is awakening you from your sleep, to wake up and to pray for something in particular. He did that for me last night. Something to pray for. But you say, God, I'm not going to pray for that. I need my sleep. What if He came right then? What if He came right then? Husband, think about this. What if you, at your workplace, had a lounge where you and your co-workers go? And your wife hardly ever comes to... She never comes to see you at work. She never does. And so you said, I feel safe being alone with this other woman, attractive, in the break room. In fact, we're going to start daily having some time by ourselves. How would you feel if all of a sudden your wife came with a special lunch for you that day? What would you feel? You'd feel ashamed, wouldn't you? Listen, this is the same thing. This is the same thing. We don't know when Jesus is coming. And this is the point of this passage. Watch therefore, for you know not when the hour of your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. You say, Jesus can't come now, why not? I'm watching something that I shouldn't on TV. Why can't Jesus come now? He can. I've decided not to do what God has told me to do. Why can't Jesus come at that moment? By the way, the less faithful we are to the things of God, the more chance God's going to come and us not being faithful. Isn't that true? You start taking away... All right, so I'm going to start taking away church services. I'm going to start taking away prayer time. I'm going to start taking away Bible reading. I'm going to start taking all those things away. I'm going to start taking away praying and fellowshipping with other believers. I'm going to start taking that all away. What are the chances now that God comes, Jesus comes back, and we are not being found faithful? It becomes more and more. The less faithful we are to the things that God wants us to be faithful to, the greater chance He's going to come back and find us not faithful, right? This is simple, I know, but it's exactly the truth. Blessed, verse 46. Verse 44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and wise, is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Do you know what's going to be optimal? That when Jesus comes back, we are doing exactly what he wants us to do. Anything less is not good. Right? Anything less is not good. There are times my wife goes, she says, I'm going to go out for a while. I'm going to go shopping. And I start thinking to myself, well, your wife's not here. And there's steak left in the fridge from last night. And I know it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but, and I know she doesn't want me to eat it because she's concerned about my health and she doesn't want me to do it, but she's gone, right? And so I can go in there, I can get that steak. In fact, I can even cut it, right? Don't tell her this, but there have been times I've gone in, this is bad, and I'll take the piece of steak and I'll bite it and then just kind of cut around it and then eat that piece, right? Because I can't wait to cut it. Now, you gentlemen know what I'm talking about. Don't say that you don't, right? But there have been a couple of times where all of a sudden she came back and she said, I forgot something. What are you doing in the fridge, right? Or some sort of thing like that. Now, that's just a silly thing, a silly example. But I promise you this. God wants us to be faithful. Now, here's the thing. We think that doing what we want to do is going to bring our greatest pleasure. Saying no to God and saying yes to whatever we want to do is going to bring the greatest pleasure. this is untrue. We say yes to God, and we will never fail to find the greatest pleasure. And I would ask you to do this. Count the cost. What is the cost of not being faithful to the things of God? I want you to know it is great. It is great. Families have been broken up because of sudden lack of faithfulness in the home. Verse 47, verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall come, shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. My Lord delayeth his coming. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants. By the way, I believe that's an unsaved person. An unsaved person, they begin to smite their fellow servants. And to eat and drink with the drunken. Here's the thing. I want you to think about this for a second. There are many people who will begin to be faithful to church, going to church. But after a while, they stop being faithful and they actually begin to do bad things to the church. And they begin to give in to their flesh and drunkenness and the idea that I need to eat, drink, and be merry. Here's the thing. It may be that you were never saved at all. You see, remember, faithfulness has to go through time. It has to go through time. And I believe that God's able to get us to the end for us that are saved. May God help us in these things. I want to ask you this question. In a moment, we're going to partake of the Lord's table. What are you faithful to? What are you faithful to? Now, there's words you can say here, but I want you to ask this question. What through time has shown I'm faithful to this? And I want you to ask this question too. What else should I be faithful to that I've not been? We all should ask that question. I have to ask that question. What ought I to be faithful to that I'm not being faithful to at the moment?